Good morning.
I'm on. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? We're going to do something because I liked it last week, but I didn't prep anybody. What I want to do this morning before we worship and get into praise and worship is come up, anybody that would like to, no matter who, anybody that would like to, just start the line, just come around and start the line here, and we'll just keep it going. For anybody that would like to just tell God what you're thankful for this morning, and we're going to do it different than we did last week. I want us to tell God, speak straight to God and tell him what we're thankful for. So if you would like to do that, come on up right now, because I just like last week, the thankfulness towards God before we worshiped. Amen. Now I know we have people in here that are thankful. Amen. To God for a lot of stuff. And I'll start it.
Yeah. I am thankful.
I keep putting this up to my mouth like I don't have this. Habit. But I'm thankful to a God that allows me to come in here every Sunday and be with you, that we get to be on this journey together. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought, where would I be without the people that he's given me in my life, that support, that love, that pray, that reach out and say, hey, I love you. I'm thankful for all of you, and I'm thankful for the body of Christ, the family of faith. And I'm thankful that my husband gets to come back next Sunday and be back with you. He is fighting at the bit. He cannot hardly stand not being here. So he's excited to be back with you, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that he's gotten time to rest and to be good, and I'm thankful that God is so faithful in everything that he does. Amen.
God, I thank you that your word says that you make all things new, including me. God, I thank you that you have raised us from death to life, that you have restored my soul and renewed my peace. Father, I thank you for my church family, that you have given me a family when my own family left. Father, I thank you. I just thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you are and all that you have created in me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your restoration, for your reconciliation, for your salvation, that you did not leave me where you found me. And I thank you, my Father.
Thank you for catching your Lord.
Right? I'm thankful to God for my healing. I had problems with my hand, and we were in West Virginia, and they prayed for it there, but we were in a service, and Pastor Field was here, and he was praying for people up front, and I said, God, if he says someone has a hand or arm problem, that's me. So I come up. I couldn't hold anything in that hand. It would just fall out, and I thank God for my healing that I got that day here. I thank God for allowing us to be able to move from West Virginia and be up here next to our children. God made the way for us. He got our house on the market. We're just finalizing our contract, and it was all God. Thank you, God, for everything.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for the Word of God because it's the Word of God that gets me through my battles. It's focusing on the Word that he's given me in my heart, that he's helped me to hide in my heart. It helps me to see that he's still there, even in the darkest of times. I thank him for his strength, his fortification, and his purification in me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back, and the food on my table.
and the roof over my head, Lord, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have any of that. Dear Father God, I am thankful, dear Lord Jesus, for this church, dear Father God, and the love that's in this church, dear Father. I am thankful, dear Father God, that I can call them and they'll pray for me in a heartbeat, dear God. I thank you for healing. I thank you for restoration. I thank you, dear Father God, for always being there. Dear Lord, when I was so sick and down, the only words I could get out of my mouth was, "The Lord is my strength," and you are my strength, and I thank you for that.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
I'm just thankful for the work that he's done on the Calvary, because if it weren't for that, none of us would be here today and where we are today. I'm thankful for the family that he has placed me in here within the church, because I didn't have a very good family at home. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for the life that he has given me outside of everything that I knew before. I'm thankful that he has written a whole new story and that he continues to do it again and again and again.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Able to say and deliver.
My praises roar up from the earth. the middle of the mystery.
Hallelujah.
God told me to remind you and to remind myself that we have already won this war. The end of the book has already been written. If you have not read it, go read it. Spoiler alert, we have already won this war. So therefore, we are to sit in a seat of victory. That means it doesn't matter what it looks like around you. You are already victorious through God the Father Almighty, who knew the end from the beginning before he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew every struggle and every trial that you would ever have to go through on the face of this earth. And he had already implanted you with what you needed to overcome that battle. When I was a child, I wasn't raised by my parents. My mom, and still has, in the physical, many mental problems which come along with addictions and things like that. She's a very tortured person in the physical, but I have a promise from God that he gave me a few years ago that says before my mother takes her last breath on this earth, that she will belong to Jesus, that her name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let me tell you, when you encounter my mother, Jamie can attest to this, it's like The Exorcist. I'm not kidding you. This is the stuff that Stephen King put on film. Like, my mom is that tortured in the physical. And that has always hurt me a lot. But I trust that when my God says that there is already a place reserved for her in heaven, that even though we live in the physical time, God exists in eternity, which means all of us are already seated at the right hand of God the Father. We have already attained the victory seat. So whatever God has promised you, I don't care if it was 35 years ago and it hasn't come to pass. You are already sitting in the victorious seat that God planned for you. Do not step down. Do not kick the dust and say, oh, well, guess it's not going to happen. No, you stand firm and say, I am victorious in Jesus Christ. He put in me everything I needed to get through this life, and I will get through it victorious. And someday when I stand before my Maker, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in.
Thank you. your voice to him this morning and tell him,
we are here for you.
Come and do what you do.
it's your confession. And now the story's
mental health restored. Don't you tell.
everything that you have done, after everything that you have set us free from, Lord God, we have seen these things with our own eyes. We are some of these people that this has happened to. And we have seen that, God, you are faithful. You are true. Truth comes out of you. And what you have promised, you will do, you have done, and you will continue to do. Father, I thank you. There's nothing impossible with you. There's nothing impossible with you. Hallelujah! Worthy are you, Jesus! Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Do not reject what I have set before you because your heart's been broken. I have named you and I have called you my own. And I have placed you right where you are. So do not reject what I have set before you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just praise you. We thank you. You are such a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe have that other one at the end if we pray for people. Amen. Amen. Well, I just, real quick announcements. Remember, there's no service this Thursday because it's Thanksgiving. And so we will come back here ready to go, ready to go on Sunday morning. If you know I'm laughing, just make sure you eat. Make sure that you're good. Amen? Because Pastor Phil's back with us Sunday morning. Amen? And we're excited about that. I think even when Jace knows that we're going to be here all day when Pastor comes back, that's a good sign that we're probably going to be here all day. No, he's excited. We do have a women's Christmas party December 4th at 1 p.m. here at the church. We need to get a sign up out there. I will put one up there for next week. Or you can just text us or something and tell us you're going to be there. Because I know that coming up for Thanksgiving, some people are probably traveling today. Some people will be traveling next week. So we just keep in mindful of those people that are traveling so that we pray for them and safe travels and that they have a great Thanksgiving week. Amen. And then Christmas Eve service at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, the 24th. I don't know why I felt like I had to tell you the date, like you didn't know it, but the 24th. So it's one of my favorite services. It's a candlelight service, and it's just beautiful. So don't forget that. And then if you would like to sing a song, that service, get with Linda, and she will run you through the process of it. And so we've already had a couple people, and we're excited about it. That's one of my favorite parts, too. Y'all, we have way more talent in here than what will disclose themselves sometimes. Amen? We got lots of talent in here. So if you would like to do that, get with Linda. And I think we're ready for the offering. Let me just tell you this. People, hold on to what God has told you. Amen? Amen. Because at 2 years old, I believe God spoke to us about Philip. I won't call you what we called you back then. But at 2 years old, he spoke to us and told us what Philip was going to do. And I sat here the last time, and it was preaching. And he's been preaching for a while. And we've seen God's fulfillment in what he's told us about Philip. But, you know, there were some years in there were a little sketchy, his teenage years, a little sketchy about what he would do and what he would choose. But he's always been strong in the Lord. He just always comes back to who he is in his faith. And I watched him a couple Thursday nights ago come into a new person. Come into a new level of who God has made him to be. And then I started thinking this morning about here we are ministering together. My baby is ministering the word of God, and it just encourages me to tell you that if you've got your kids out there, just keep believing. Because if you know where we started from, if you truly knew my story and knew who I was and knew where Phil and I started from with this young man, my baby, you would be as amazed as I am of how good God is Amen. I don't know why I had to say that. A mama moment. Sorry. Mama moment.
All right. Well, in Psalms 37:4 is where I'm going to read, and it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Do we truly delight in tithe and offering? How many times do we struggle, get stagnant, or stop, and we're sitting there struggling with believing in God or believing in him, but do we still delight in him in those times? Or in that stagnation, do we begin to doubt? Or maybe it's not even a doubt or a stagnation, and maybe we're not even struggling. Maybe we just get so comfortable that we get complacent. And we get like Uzzah with the ark, where we treat the things that God is doing for us as common, instead of treating it as what it is, a gift and a blessing from God that we cannot obtain on our own. And, oh, Jesus, I hope this is still in the history because I forgot. Okay. So as it says in John 15:4, where it talks about, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." So when we get in those good places and we get complacent and we get comfortable, do we forget this? A branch cannot produce fruit on its own. So if you see your life producing fruit, you see your life producing all this growth, but you're only focused on I, you're going to start to see that that plateau. And then you get to the plateau, and then you get the hard times. You're like, "God, what's going on?" And God said, "Well, are you abiding in me? And do you find delight in me?" The reason why it's so important to find delight in God is because God delights in doing all these things for us. So as you give your offering this morning, I just want you to think about, do you truly delight in giving in every season of your life? So we're going to bring the buckets out. I'm going to pray and bring it up. Father God, I just thank you for the offering this morning, Lord God. I thank you that each and every single person here not only abides in you, but they find delight in you, Lord God, that they honor you in every step and every aspect of their giving and in their life. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thankful for God that has provided us the finished work. Like Marie was saying this morning, your battle's done. You have the victory. Just go through it. Amen? It's like you got a house on fire, but the door's open and the pathway's clear because God makes a way for you. Just run out of the house. Run to God. Amen? Just keep running through it. You don't stop in the middle of the fire. Because if you stop in the middle of the fire, it will consume you, right? It'll burn you up and you will die. And that's what the enemy's hoping to do in the middle of your trial, that you'll stop, that you'll sit down, that you'll stop fighting, that you'll stop praising him, that you'll stop running and doing what you know to do. So just keep running through the fire. Amen? Amen. Get out that door. All right. That's not my message, but it was so good. That word was so good. Do you ever wonder why we do the things that we do? Like, there's just certain characteristics that I have that Marie doesn't have, or Amy doesn't have. there are certain ways that I behave in ways that you don't behave, you know? I'm not going to give examples because then I'd look crazy, but, and it's okay, I can look crazy because my God is a good God and I'll look crazy for him every day, amen? But I just noticed, okay, so when you get married, you know that y'all don't do stuff the same way. You realize that you behave in a certain way that your husband doesn't. This was a real thing for somebody before they got married. The toothpaste. Somebody rolls it up from the bottom and keeps rolling it, and the other one just grabs it and squeezes wherever they squeeze. And it was like a serious, you're kidding me, you can't do that. You can't do that. Do you ever wonder why we do things the way we do? It's because of who we were raised by, right? We are a product of our environment. It's the environment that we've lived through is who we reflect. How many times have you, if you had a good mom and dad, now I understand, and the reason that some people act the way they do is because they didn't have a good mom and dad, right? But have you ever heard you say, oh my goodness, that was Mary Wade, that's my mother's name. Where does she come from? Like, out of my mouth, yelling at my child, or doing, you know, having to have something exactly a certain way. It just, literally, I heard my mom saying it, and it came out of my mouth. How many times does that happen? Because we reflect who raised us, right? I once worked with this woman. She was my boss at the bank, and she had an adoptive brother. There's no blood at all in her and them that were the same. They were adopted. And we had a talk one day, and she said, it's crazy how much he acts like us. It's crazy, like, we'll do this, and he'll do this, and he really, you would think that we're blood related because he acts just like us. And I said, well, yes, you raised him. He's been with you his whole life. He's going to reflect what he has seen. Amen? He's going to reflect everything that he's been through. Our kids are stinking little. You just wait. It's coming. But they're little tape recorders, are they not? Are they not? I watch kids, and they say these big things nowadays. Like, they don't just say little things, you know? They say big words, and you're like, where did you hear that? What did Amory say to you the other day? Stay out of my business. Mind your business. She's not even two. She just turned two. Mind your business. As plain as day. I'm like, girl. Now, where do you think she's heard that from? Amen? Look at your hand. Do you ever wonder what God's hand looks like? Yours, but bigger. Look at the person sitting next to you. Under what the rest of God looks like? You. But different characteristics. Two legs, two arms, a head, a body. Amen? God looks like you. Why? Because that's how he created us. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and give him dominion. God wanted to have fellowship with us. Is that not why he put Adam in the garden and created Adam? That's why he created this earth. That's why he formed it. That's why he put every provision that we need on it. And listen, I know they say we're going to run out of stuff. They've been saying that for years. I remember them saying it when I was a kid. We're not going to run out of anything until we're not here anymore. Why? Because he provides for us. He provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's what the word of God says. So you're not going to run out of what you need. Amen? Because God's going to provide it. So when I hear them saying that, I just kind of have to laugh because that's not what the word of God says. You're just trying to make us fearful. And God did not give us a spirit of fear. We won't be fearful. Amen? The outward man perishes, but the inward man hungers for the word of God. You know that, right? Like, this everybody is going to pass away. They said it's appointed unto man once to die. The only way that doesn't happen is if Jesus comes back and we all go up in the rapture. Amen? Our outward body perishes every single day. Every single day. Listen, I look at myself in the mirror, and I got these two sides to this mirror. This is regular, and this is magnified by like five. And this one, I look pretty good. And this one, oh my goodness, look at all of those wrinkles. Over here, over there, there. This is my critical self right here. I'm going to look at myself in a way that I'm going to pick out everything that's wrong with me. Right? I know I'm just listening to the Lord because I don't want to miss what he wants to say in this moment because it's so important. Because we get so caught up in everything. We get caught up so much in how we were raised, environments and ways of thinking and thought processes that God never gave us. Do you ever wonder why we do a service like we do? God didn't. There's no order of service in his word that says do it this way. Right? Some people do programs, and if that's what you like, then do that. You know, I'm not knocking that. But we can do a service however we want to, as long as we worship him and the word comes forward. Amen? Amen? Because we're praising him and we're talking about him. We have all of these ways that we do stuff that didn't come from the Lord. Case in point, when somebody talks about me, I hold on to a grudge for the rest of my life. Jesus didn't do that, right? Never did that. When I am going through a divorce or had a divorce, I hate that person forever. Mm-mm. Now, hopefully, no, you don't have to go through that. I went through it long, long ago. Long, long, long ago. I know, some of you didn't know that, right? Yes, you did. Ah, Philip and Josh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. But, where was I going with that? I know it. Oh, you hate them forever. Like, I went through a divorce. It wasn't a good situation. I had to get out of it for my safety. That's all I'm going to say about it. And I could have hated that man for the rest of my life. But I don't. I actually love him in a different way. He's my son's father. But he's also a friend of mine now. And I love the man. And I want to see him succeed. And I want to see every good thing come to him. Years ago, I determined that when Jesus truly forgave me and I got saved, that I was going to reflect him in this situation and I was going to forgive. And I was never going to hold anything that he'd ever done or said against me ever, ever, even the stuff he was saying and doing at that moment in time. Because even though I was saved and healed, he wasn't. Right? And I was going to become like Jesus in this situation. We need the inward man to reflect a God that created us, just like our outward man reflects him. Amen? The inward is what's important because this fades, this dies, this goes back to dust the way it was created. But the inward man lives forever. It's not this, you die and then nothing. You just don't exist anymore. It's not the way it works. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And there is a choice that we get to make what we're going to do. And my choice doesn't affect you, it affects me, right? Because no matter what you do, your choice doesn't affect me. Your choice affects you. And what you choose to do with this life God's given you and how you choose to live it is going to determine whether you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in," or depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I've made the mistake for years of thinking I was responsible for your salvation. I have. I've been with my son. Yes, I'm responsible for how I act. I'm responsible for my behavior. Absolutely. Don't think I'm saying that I can act any old way and you just... No, I am responsible for how I behave for myself. And because I'm a child of God. But I'm not responsible for your salvation. You are. The choices you make, the decisions you make, the way you want to live, you get the choice. Every decision, action, reaction, you make the determination. Your eternity, my decisions don't affect you. When it comes to healing, are you going to get healed? You make the choice, do I believe God? Do I really, truly believe God with everything in me? You know, I've come through trials, and I've realized in some of my trials, I have believed God for you, but sometimes I don't necessarily and haven't had the faith for myself to get through that. How is that? How is it I believe God can move a mountain for you? But then when I look in the mirror at myself and I got stuff going on myself, I've suddenly start to doubt who God is. Amen. Your eternity's in your hands. And if we want to spend eternity with our Father, it's time we start reflecting him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And of course, what we're talking about here is as we seek him, as we go after him, as we worship him, as we run towards him and get to know who he is. Because the only way you know who he is if you get in this word and know who he is. You can hear a person talk about the Lord all you want. And it's going to bring some peace to you probably. It's going to bring some, okay, I understand. And it'll make you start talking to God some, right? But if you stop and you just keep listening, it's like, I believe it was Holly or somebody said up here, I'm sorry, I don't remember which one of you said it, but I know you said it, that we get complacent. Who is Mary? I don't know. Oh, Philip did. But we get complacent in our walk, and we get so comfortable that we just begin to take everything for granted that God's given us and that God's done for us. Do we not? Do you not just sit at home sometimes and you're just living your life? And all of a sudden, the whole day is going by and there's not been one thankful word to God. There's not been one focus on him at all because we've been just living our good life. And the good life he provided for us, mind you, the good life he gave us. And we get up and we run through it and we forget to thank the one who provided it for us. We just get so caught up and so comfortable, right? So comfortable. But when you were, I only can use experiences I had. I thought, Lord, I'm tired of using experiences that some people can't relate to. And so I'm sorry, I can only use the ones I am, that have happened to me. But when I was playing sports, right, you look and you watch all these NBA players, the baseball players, all them, and you find some, or even people that are older than you that you've watched in your school play or something, and you see how good they are, and you really want to strive to be like them, right? What aren't you willing to do to get better? Let's just think about this. I would get up, and in the summer, back then, it's been so many years ago, it's probably changed now, you couldn't really practice your sport, but you could have open gyms and just play together, right? Just play games. So we would do that. And then we would have camps. Then you would have open gym to come in and lift. And then once your season got ready to start, you'd have conditioning. I hate to run. I was very fast, but I hated to run. But I knew that if I wanted to play basketball or volleyball, anything, any sport we did that I had to run around in, I had to run to condition this body to be able to do what it needed to do on that court, right? And then we would go through, football players were the worst. I think them and wrestlers have it the worst because I'd watch them go through two-a-days in the heat. I'd watch wrestlers wear these stinking outfits. Like they would be four layers of clothes, sweating themselves, doing these workouts, trying to lose weight, to make weight, right? We do everything in the world to become like the person that we've seen play that we want to become like. Is it not truth? And that's for worldly stuff that means absolute nothing. I never went to the pros. I never went beyond high school. But we won't pick up a word to become like the man who created us, the man who made us. That he, the reason he did it is because he wants fellowship with one another. He wants to talk to you. He made you in his image. He knew you before he formed you in his mother, in your mother's womb. You weren't made by happenstance. You're not here by happenstance. You're here because a loving God wanted you on this earth because he wants to fellowship with you. How many of you have kids? Now, I understand there's extenuating circumstances, and we're not talking about those. But I didn't have Philip to give him away to somebody and not and have somebody else watch him 24/7, right? I don't understand how somebody can get a nanny and let their nanny raise their kids. I don't get it. Because I couldn't put my son down, right? Phil and I would fight for this boy. I know, crazy, right? But we would fight over who's going to hold him. I'm sure you guys understand. You got like four competing in your room, because those boys, I know those boys was fighting for her too. Right? Like you fight to hold him. You fight to want to spend time. You fight to just want to listen to him goo. He can't say nothing. He's a baby. But we still want to sit there and love on him. Why? Because our heart is so full of a love that we've never felt before and didn't even know could exist that we just want to, I just want to hold him close. I want him to stay that way forever. Jerk. He didn't. Obviously. He grew up, and now he barely will hug me. Even though my heart still feels the same towards him. Amen? Amen? Why do you not think that your God, who is not man, that ways are higher than your ways, thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and you being man know how to give good gifts unto your kid, how do you not more think that God would want to? And that God would not want to spend that time with you, right? But we go throughout our day wondering why we're so frustrated. Why am I so down today? And I'm guilty. Listen, guilty. I'm not telling you something God's not really spoke to me first. Why am I down today? I just went through a really rough season. And I'm telling you, the things I did before that season helped me through that season. I'm a worshiper. I love music. Love music. And I would go to bed at night in one of the, it's not the worst situation I've ever been in, but it felt like it at the time. Just thanking the Lord because I didn't know what else to do, and I just thanked the Lord for his goodness and his mercies. And I thank him for always seeing me through everything. And a song would play, a verse, just a verse to a song, would play over and over in my spirit. Like I'm thinking about something, but I hear this in the background, that he's gone before me, and he defeated the enemy before I ever knew there was a fight. And he was telling me, in the moment that I needed to hear it the most, that he's already defeated this enemy. He saw it before I did. Regina, I've seen this before you saw it coming. I saw this moment in your life. I've prepared you. You're okay. You're good. I have done a finished work for you. But had I not prepared and been before him, before the battle came, I don't know how people do it not saved. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know how people lose a loved one and they're not saved. Because the only way that I got through what I got through was because my God was with me and strengthened me. Amen? How are you not understanding, or how are we as a people not understanding, and where do we miss it? That he got us where we're at. Did he not? How will he not get us out of the hard times too? How do we miss it that we don't run to him, we sit down and we stop and we feel sorry and we start to get upset, and pain is the worst thing. When you got pain in your body, it becomes this different beast, it feels like, and it's hard to encourage yourself, right, when you're in constant pain. And some days, there's all I could say was, God, I thank you for your faithfulness. Some days I just pray and say, God, I'm thankful that you've seen the way out. Because he told me that, right? He gave me that promise that he makes a way before us. He goes before us, and he makes our way. And he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, which if you don't know this scripture by now, I don't know how you're not, because I say it all the time. But the Lord will deliver me out of every single one of them. There's not one he's going to leave me in. But I don't know that if I'm not becoming in his image, and I'm not reading his word and understanding what it says. If I become in the image of Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, and that's our goal, then I would do, think, say, speak, hear only the way God hears things and only what he says to me. Is that not truth? Because Jesus says, I do only what the Father tells me to do. He didn't do a thing on this earth that his Father didn't tell him to do. And he would be so confident when he prayed over somebody that he knew they were raising. One time he even said, I'm praying it for them. I know you've already done it, God. Right? One time he even said it. I'm not praying for myself. I know you already done this. I'm praying for them so that they know you're doing this. So if we become like Jesus and we are made into his image and we're transferred into his image and we start thinking like him, we start loving like him. Do you know how many things that have been said to you that you've taken wrong because of the filter you have and how much it's been broken and hurt? And you just automatically assume that they mean something negative about you, and it wasn't truth. Do you know how many times somebody didn't wave to you because they didn't see you, but you thought they saw you, and it hurt your heart because your mind said, they're just ignoring you. What have I? And then you go into this whole process. How do I know it? Because I've lived, did I do something wrong? What did I do? Okay, let me think. What was our last encounter? Man, they're really mad at me. Lord, and then all of a sudden, anxiety starts to hit, does it not? Like, maybe not for some of you, and I'm thankful that that's not your process. Praise God. But it starts to create this snowball that started out this big that rolls down a hill, and now it's this big, when it was really absolutely nothing in the first place. Because we're hearing not through the ears of the Lord. We're hearing it through our filters that aren't cleaned out yet because we won't get ourselves in the Word to clean them out. And to become more like him. Now, some of you have. Listen, I believe that you're in the Word. But I believe that God told me to speak this message for a reason. To look in the mirror and to see if you reflect his glory. To see if you reflect who he is. Because everything has a fruit, right? Everything bears after its own kind. So that's a good measuring stick right there. Listen, I fail and I get back up, but I'm always measuring myself and asking God, what did I do wrong here? I'm always going home, replaying conversations in my head. How did I do that? Why did I say that? It's constant. I have to, you know, rely on God to help me not do that because it can become like just a burden. Of always saying and doing the right thing. And I'm human. I don't always say and do the right thing. But I feel like I'm supposed to. You know, I feel like there's a burden, a heavy thing on me to do that. And God's releasing me from some of this. But I'm so thankful that he starts to heal us through his word and starts to give us a filter that hears things the way he hears things. Because when you hear somebody say something nasty to you the next time, you're not going to hear the nastiness in which they tell you or say to you. You're going to discern that there's an issue. They're having a hard time. Something's happened. It's either been a bad day or wait, put the brakes on. Do you want to talk about it? Ask them. Because something's just going on in their lives. And you're an outlet. I can't tell you how many people's been outlets for my nasty behavior. The good thing about a mirror, or the bad thing about a mirror, is that it reflects, right? I say this in my Jesus side, because when I look in this, I don't see all that. I don't see all the real intricate things, and so I see myself the way Jesus sees me. When I look too deep and see every absolute single flaw that may not even be there, what eyes are you looking through? Are you looking through the eyes of Jesus and how he says you are? Are you allowing the enemy to keep speaking to you about what you look like? You know, some people can't even look in a mirror. Some people, there was times I could not stand to look at myself in a mirror. Hated myself. Absolutely hated myself. This was before Philip was born. Couldn't stand myself. Wish I was dead. Why did you put me here? Like, I didn't even serve God, but you know, when you feel bad and when you're down in the dumps, all of a sudden you start blaming a God you never served for all of your troubles. Isn't that truth? Why are you doing this to me? I never served him. What's he doing to me? Right? I'm doing it to myself because I'm choosing this life that I've lived. I'm choosing the things that I've chosen. I didn't choose to run to him. I chose to go out and run in the world. Right? And I chose to do it my own way for so long that I got to the point where I couldn't stand to see myself in the mirror. I hated me. I hated me until the day God set me free. Amen? And I'm so glad for a God who set me free. And he started changing how I see things. I no longer see me the way I was. I no longer see every sin I've ever created or I've ever done, every wrong thing I've ever done. I no longer see that when I look at myself. I'm starting to see the redeemed person that God gave, that God made me. Why? Because time in his word will change your focus and change how you see. If the word says that choose this day whom you'll serve, there's two ways to go, period. And if you don't go the way of Jesus, and listen, this isn't manipulation. I'm just telling you the word. Because I just heard that word in my head. Like somebody saying this manipulation. No, it's not. It's truth. And it's truth because we love you enough to tell you truth. Because we've heard of people believing that this wasn't truth. I've heard of a comedian, and he's older. Some of you might know him, Sam Kinison. Some of you might not. He once was a preacher. He once was a preacher. Preached the word of God. Went out and was a comedian. And then he had in one of his skits that people out there talking about how God speaks to them. I've read the Bible. God ain't spoke to nobody in 2,000 years. And started mocking the word of God. Listen, what did he just do? He removed the grace and the hands of God off of him. He became and had a reprobate mind. And not long after that, I believe he was in an accident, and a car accident or something, and he was decapitated. I believe that's the story. Who wasn't around him that would tell him the truth? Who wasn't there to say that choose this day who you serve? Are you serving money? Because if you're serving money, you're serving the devil. Are you serving peace in your life? Because that's what you're seeking. You just want peace. You just want to live a life that's just good and no, just smooth, no hiccups, no bumps in the road. Are you serving that? Because that's not Jesus. That's serving peace. Amen. To serve Jesus, you've got to do and be who he says you can be. There is no straddling the line. I think I talked about this the last time. You can't straddle the line and be good one day and be bad the next day, or be good this moment and then go home and go watch things on your computer that you should never be watching in the first place. Women, you should not have conversations with men outside of your marriage that include any kind of flirtation whatsoever. Amen. Whatsoever. Why? That's sin. Because in the Old Testament, it says if you do the act, you've committed adultery, right? But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he said, if you even think about it, if you even think it, you've done it. So now you've sinned because of your thoughts. So if you're even thinking evil stuff, even thinking about how much you hate somebody, but you're not speaking out of your mouth, it don't matter. God knows the intents of your heart. That's why we change. We can't do it on our own. We've tried to be good, have we not? How many of you as teenagers tried to be good, but then your friend calls you up and says, hey, come meet me, but don't tell your mom because I know she don't like it. And you say, okay, hey, where are you going? Oh, mom, I'm just going to the store. But no, that's not what you really did. You went somewhere else and did something else you weren't supposed to be doing. And you lied about it. You're trying to be good. You're trying to be good. How many men, and I'm only, Phil's not here to hear this. I'm going to make him hear this later. How many men say, oh, I'm just going to go, I'm just looking, I'm just going to drive this person over to the Field and Stream store. I'm good. And you got a stash of she don't know money. And you go in that store and you buy all of this stuff. And you come home, oh, honey, what'd you do? Oh, nothing. Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah, no, I'm good. And you don't even tell her what you bought. Because she don't know you got this money, and you're going to put that equipment in with your other equipment, and she's going to look at it, and she's not going to think twice about it, because she never really does in the first place. And then all of a sudden, you're going to pick up something you carry, and she's going to say, where did that come from? You want to be good. I believe you want to be good. But yours is a little bit more intense. You come home with a new guitar, she's going to know. She's going to catch it. But really, you want to be good, right? Even Paul says, I want to do the things that are good. My spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to be good. Well, then how can we be good? Not on our own. Not on our own. You aren't made to live this life on your own. The heartaches and the stuff that you've gone through has never been God putting it on you. Everything that I went through, it wasn't God putting it on me. It was decisions I made. I chose to serve the enemy even though I didn't understand that's what I was doing. It says, choose this day whom you'll serve. You going to serve Jesus or are you going to serve the devil? Which one are you going to choose? Because there's an eternity waiting on you. Like I said, this is perishing. Like I just saw a bunch of wrinkles. I wish I wouldn't have looked in that mirror. I saw a bunch of stuff I didn't think existed on my face. I'm serious. And it does. But it's going. It's because it's growing older. And one day, this will turn back to dust. From dust we came, till dust will return. And the only thing that lives forever is our spirit man. So, am I going to fulfill lust of the flesh and desires of my heart all the time that's against God's word to live in hell for eternity? Because this is a vapor. This is a moment of time that you're involved in. Eternity is a mighty long time. Eternity is forever, right? So are you going to continue just to float through your days, not serve the Lord, not learn who you are, not teach yourself the word of God, or continue to straddle the line, come into church, raise your hands and praise God, and then go home and behave like the devil? Because nobody's promised tomorrow. You're not promised 5 minutes from now. Honestly, anything can happen. I've heard of I think it was R.W. Shambach was talking to this young man about salvation, and he was crying. He was in his seat, and he was crying and crying and crying, and they're trying to get him up. And he did not come up and receive Jesus as a Savior. Went out, because he knew what he was getting ready to do. So he went out, gets on the bike with his little bike gang, and goes out, gets in an accident, and is killed immediately. He had a moment to receive Jesus, to live in heaven for eternity, or turn and go his own way and serve the enemy. And then he got killed. Now, I hope and pray, because you don't know. You don't put anybody in heaven. You don't put anybody in hell. That's God's job and God's job only. Amen? With his final breath, he could have cried out to Jesus and went to heaven. Like, we know that's the case. Amen? I learned a long time ago, do not assume you know where somebody went. Do not assume, because God is the only one that gets to make that. He'll have mercy on who he'll have mercy. Amen? That's what his word says. So I want to become more like him. I want to have response and reactions to people and to situations and to life. And I want to live a life that he's proud of, right? That he can look at me when I get to the gates and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to do. And I want to be a good example to people because we're supposed to be, right? But that doesn't happen if I'm not in his word. That doesn't happen if I don't know how this thing works. If you get in a car and you were never shown how to turn on a car, how to, what's your brake, what's your accelerator, what's your steering wheel, what's your gear shifter, especially if you're in a shift, right, a stick shift, if you were never taught how to do that, you're going to get in that car and you're going to look at it and not know what to do. And you need to get somewhere. You need to go somewhere. Maybe your life's in danger. Maybe somebody's coming after you. But if you jump in this car and you've never been told or never been taught or never watched anybody do it, you don't know what to do. And you could die because of it. That's how dire it is for you to be in the Word of God. That is seriously how dire it is for you to be in the Word of God, learning who He is and changing into His image from glory to glory. Amen. I'm not who I was when I started out. And man, when I started out, it was awesome. Right? Like, when I first got saved, a peace that I haven't felt came on me. And that was the first thing that shocked me. Like, I was like, I didn't know what that was. I start gaining weight because when I get real nervous, I don't eat. But when I'm good, I start eating and I start gaining weight. And I was always thin. I know you don't believe that, but I used to be always thin. Because I never ate. Because I was always nervous. I was always anxiety ridden. I was always... So I never ate. So when I got saved, I started gaining weight. I'm like, what is this? Jesus, I want to serve you, but I don't want to gain weight. And he said, you don't have any angst in you anymore. I took it. I gave you peace. And in peace, you can finally just relax. Now, I took it too much, and I ate stuff that I shouldn't have ate. Obviously, that was my fault. But I'm just saying, when you get saved, and when God brings you peace, there's things you can do that you can't do when you don't have that peace. I could forgive a person who did me wrong, like really wrong, and end up being his friend and loving him and wanting nothing but the best for him and his wife. My husband loves him. My son loves him. Right? You don't love him? Okay, likes him. Say, we all get along when we get around each other. He actually showed up to my father's funeral to support me, him and his wife. Like, that's huge to me. That's huge, because my dad hated him. He knew it. He didn't care, because he wanted to support somebody that was going through a bad time. That's how much God can restore anything. 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 Any of you that are fighting with your relatives or family or children or sisters, brothers, we saw it in motion at my dad's funeral. He can restore that. My sisters and I, my younger sister and I talked, but our older sister didn't talk to either one of us. And by the end of the funeral, the end of the 2 days I was there, there started becoming communication. There was hugs. My sisters, one of them even kissed the other one on the cheek like 20 times. I'm like, first of all, that's not like her in the first place, is it? I'm like, who? What just happened? How? What? And I said, well, I want one. I'm the one living for Jesus. But we'd had such a talk, me and my younger sister, that we said, we're going to go in there with the heart of Jesus. We're going to go in there, and we're going to love, and I don't care what she's done. I don't care what she said. She's been hurt. She's been broken. We didn't always do the things she wanted us to do. I don't care what. I didn't create it. I can't fix it. But we're going to love her. You didn't create it. You're not going to try to fix her. You're not going to try to figure out what went wrong. You're just going to go and love her. That means not talking to her so she can have peace. Then don't talk to her. That means talking to her because she needs it. Then we'll talk to her. But we're just going to go in and show the love of Jesus. And that's exactly what my sister, my younger sister, did. She grabbed her and started kissing on her cheek. And I'm like, I don't even know where this woman came from. Because if you don't know us, we're not very touchy-feely. We're not. Philip, be quiet. To you, we were. But it's reflecting Jesus and allowing him to fix everything. Do you understand your job's not to fix everybody? You can't fix you, right? You can't fix you. So your job's not to fix everybody else. How much relief does that bring on some people? It brings a relief on me. Now I'm to be an example. I'm to love. We're to preach the word of God. We're to pray for people. Absolutely. All of that stuff. But I'm not responsible for your salvation. I'm responsible for mine. And I'm responsible to God to live a life that reflects him. And you're responsible for your choices. You're responsible for how you live. You're responsible for saying, you know what, I'm satisfied with how I am. Or, God, I'm not satisfied at all. I need to go deeper with you. I'm not, and this is where I'm always at almost. And I'm really right there right now. We were going to do this song. Maybe we should come up and get put ready to do that song. Linda, if you can hear me in your ears. What I'm talking about is a life-seeking God and his way and his word and his mannerisms, not ours, not the ones we've grown up with. Because there's some things that we learn growing up is bad. It's bad. I don't do half the stuff I did growing up. I no longer speak and profane words come out of my mouth. That doesn't happen. If somebody yells at me, I'm not yelling back. That don't happen. Why? Because that's not who God created me to be. You couldn't get me to hit, well, Logan can, but nobody else can get me to hit you. Philip can. The mama's tap. Like before, when I was growing up, if you said a nasty word to me or gave me a side look or looked at my man, I'd jump out of a moving car. That's how stupid I was before the Lord got me. Amen. I'm not that person anymore. You can't get me to behave that way. Nobody can get me to behave that way. Okay, disclaimer, lest you mess with my grandbabies. That's something different, right? Yeah, mess with them all you want. It's fine. Just my grandbabies. But I want to live a life that reflects him. I want to examine myself in every way. Not in a way that causes me depression because I'm not where he is. Because it's glory to glory. He's not going to reveal everything to you at once. He can't. We can't handle everything at once. We're never perfect. Jesus was the only perfect one that walked the earth. But we can strive. Glory to glory. He says, you know what? You're doing good. But I don't like that you're talking to this person in this kind of manner. Can you change that and be nice? It could be, which something that hit me, is do you ever realize this? God told me this. Do you ever realize that your first reaction is always negative? What? Yeah. Regina, do you ever realize that when somebody says something, that your first thought, even if you don't say anything, even your thought, it's negative? No. I didn't realize that. So now I'm trying to purposefully, and have been trying to purposefully, not have that thought even. And definitely not have the reaction that goes along with the thought. Amen? It's changing from glory to glory. Sometimes it's not huge things he wants you to change. Sometimes it's just little things he wants you to change. Maybe he wants you to change what you're watching. Maybe we haven't given up alcohol yet, and he's saying, it's time. Maybe there's a friendship or a man or a woman that you're hanging out with, and it's not good. And he's saying, it's time to break that friendship. Why? Because it's not bringing me glory. It's rolling you further away from me, not closer to me. Anything that pulls you away from who God is, he wants to get it out of your life. But you get to choose whether you want to do that or not. It's a choice, right? So my journey right now is just seeking God and saying, God, your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine. I want to think like you. When somebody talks to me, some people don't know how to tell you straight out what's bothering them. I don't. I'm not a good communicator. So I pray, God, let me hear with your ears. So I hear what they're saying that they're not saying. Let me see with your eyes so that I'm not deceived by what I think something's happening, but I'm looking through your eyes, so I'm going to see truth. Let me love with your heart, because the way I love is flawed. Right? We love people who love us. No, that's not true. That's not the way it should be. But sometimes that's the way we are. We're good to those who are good to us. We respect those who respect us. Where does it say that in the Word? Where does it say just love the people that love you? It doesn't. Right? It doesn't. It says we're to love. Good morning. I want them to play through this song, and it's one of my favorite songs, has been for a little while. And it just talks about, take me, Lord. Change me. Change my thoughts. Make me who you are. It's just a living sacrifice before him. Here I am, God. I know that I'm not who you need me to be yet. I know we're walking towards it. Change me. Show me. I want to be more like you. So we're just going to go through this. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to do anything. If the altar is open, if you want it. But I just want you to hear the words of the song and allow God to work on our hearts. Amen.
Where you meet us, take me there, take me there. If what you need is just an offering, it's right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, a refiner. I wanna be consumed.
Lord, here's my life. I wanna be.
come up here if you want to come up here, that's great. But just put your hands to the Lord. Just tell him, I want to be tried by your fire, God, because I want to be more like you. We're just going to take a moment and just really focus in this moment right here. God, my desire is to become more like you. If that's you, and if you're not a hand-raising person, listen, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, but I am trying to present an opportunity for you right now that he's here to grab a hold of what he's doing in this moment. Amen. Discouraged if you see something you don't like in yourself, but keep pushing through. Sometimes what you see is bigger in your eyes than it is in mine. When I say something, it's just, let's move on. He says, let's move on to the place of holiness and pureness of heart. But I'm going to do what you asked. You ready? And when I do what you ask, then I need you to do what I ask and go tell my people about me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you. You're worthy. Take the time to pray for Tina Marsh right now. Father, she's having upper endoscopy tomorrow for stomach pain, so we just pray, Lord God, that you would reveal what is there and you will heal, because every name that is named must bow to the name of Jesus. And Father, because Jesus went to the cross and took the stripes on his back for our healing, Tina is healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you give her peace right now, that you've got this and you're with her. It's your healing power is not new to Tina. You've been so faithful to her. And I thank you, Lord God, that what you've done, you'll do, because you change not. And I thank you for healing and touching. I thank you for touching Grayson. I think that he's home now. I think I saw that. God, thank you. Thank you for moving on his behalf and healing him and bringing him to a place where he could breathe on his own and go home. Father, we pray for Bob today. For those who weren't here on Thursday, Jared got a call. You're not Jared, but Jared got a call before he got to church on Thursday and said that Bob was put on hospice. So we know he's been battling, and there's been some good praise reports out of it, but right now it doesn't. You know, the battle is very tough right now. And so Phil's been calling me for the last couple of days trying to go over, but he just finally got a hold of him. This morning they called him back, and he talked to Bob. And Bob was very weak and couldn't talk long. So just keep Bob and his family up in your prayers. We love Bob. And I still believe. Listen, I'm a bulldog. I'm a bulldog. Once you bite on, you don't let go. And I still believe and the healing power of God, the miracle working power of God. And as long as that man has breath in his body, that he can rise up out of his bed and he can, and he, I believe that he is healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Such a sweet presence in here right now. Just such a sweet presence in here right now. What a way to end for Thanksgiving weekend, or the Thanksgiving week. The goodness of God. Take this with you. It doesn't have to be the only time you feel this presence. Amen. Take it with you. Have a great Thanksgiving. You don't have to leave. I'm dismissing you. But if you want to stay in this presence for a while, by all means, stay. Have a great Thanksgiving. And then we will see you back here Sunday morning at 10.